Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're trying to tell the world what the Catholic Church actually teaches. The Catholic Church is telling you today that it is changing. The Catholic Church cannot change because it claims itself to be infallible. One thing about the Catholic Church, they get continual revelation just like the charismatics. And there are many charismatic Catholics running around healing and talking in tongues. The charismatic movement covers all denominations and religions, from Islam, Protestants, Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, even what we might call Reformed theology. There are some Reformed preachers out there preaching the charismatic movement. Why in the world am I doing this? You might say, why am I talking about the Catholic Church? Why am I bemeaning the Catholic Church? Well, if you could go to heaven believing what a Catholic believes, I'd leave them alone. If they came to me and asked me Bible questions, I would tell them Bible questions. If they came to me and what I said, think about the Catholic Church, I would tell them what I think about the Catholic Church and what the Catholic Church actually is. I don't think a Catholic would be a Catholic if they realized what the Catholic Church really was. In my whole series of messages, these last 9 messages, Escaping Catholicism, the last 3 messages are exposing Catholicism, what it actually is. You can't run from something until you realize that it is your enemy. Many people go into national parks and they go into places where there are dangerous animals. There are all kinds of horror stories about children being killed by, and grown people being killed by, bear, by lions, by camels even, by dangerous animals, buffalo, the American bison. People will go into a park and they'll say, beware of the bears. Right up here, 9 miles from where I'm standing, you go up straight up Trail Canyon up there, and the last sign you'll see up there is, this is black bear habitat. Beware. They are not pets. They are not toys. They are not teddy bears. They are wild animals, and they will injure or kill, maybe even eat you. You are food, and you are a predator to them, and they do not want to be bothered by another large predator. They will try to make you a victim instead of a predator. They will try to make you prey instead of a predator. Well, Catholicism is a predator. It's a dangerous predator. It's a predator that has killed between 50 and 100 million innocent Christians and damned hundreds of millions to hell. And still is. What is so wrong with the Catholic Church? We've covered the 7 sacraments that they believe. We've covered the history of the Catholic Church and how it evolved. And what it teaches. Now, one more time. If you believe everything that the Catholic Church, and follow everything the Catholic Church tells you to do, when you close your eyes in death, you will go to hell. I can't make it any plainer than that. Every pope, if they believe and practice what the Catholic Church says, and they are the head of the Catholic Church, there's not one of them that have ever gone to heaven. Because they blocked themselves from heaven. The Catholic Church is a roadblock to heaven. The Catholic Church keeps people from being saved. I didn't say the Catholic Church kept people from living righteous lives in most places. Now, during the Crusades, the Catholic Church armed their soldiers with the confidence that no matter what they did, how many women they raped and pillaged, or how many murders they committed, that they were going to be given the beatific vision, they would walk straight into paradise if they died. Now that's a lie too. The Crusades, by the way, were not wonderful and they were not Christian. They were a murderous affair. A murderous affair. Islam does the same thing. As I said, the Muslim world and the Catholic world are twin sisters in many ways. Both of them demand conversion if you're going to go to heaven. Where Catholic Church is in power, you have no rights as a Christian. Where the Islamic Empire is in effect, you have no rights as a Christian. Now, here are some things that the Catholic Church proclaimed at the Council of Trent in 1545 to about, it went on for several years. The Council of Trent basically, and right over here in 1545, now let's see what's going on in the world in 1545. Here's 1500 and there's 1600. Now, we have all this evolution. We have Zwingli coming along. We have Savonarola. We have Wycliffe, 1330 to 1384. We have Luther, 1483 to 1546. And we have John Calvin from 1509 to 1564. We have the Augsburg Confession of Faith in 1555. We have the Presbyterian Church beginning in 1541. We have the Congregationalists in 1602. Now, the Catholic Church is denouncing everybody that believes anything but the dogma of the Catholic Church. And remember, the Catholic Church has already put their dogmas, their traditions, over, equal to, or above Scripture. Because, remember, go back in here a little bit further. In 1229 AD, the Bible was completely forbidden. Because by the time we get up here in 1229, the Catholic Church is so contrary to the Word of God, they don't want anybody reading the Bible. Why was the King James Version of the Bible written?
Henry VIII.
No, King James of England wrote it. Yeah. Why did King James have the Bible translated into the English language in 1611? Why did he do it? Now, many people believe in King James only. Let's look at the King James Bible for a minute. Why did King James have the Bible translated into the hands of the English-speaking people? Because England kept teetering from Catholicism to Protestantism, or back to the Church of England, the Anglican Church. And there was a definite predator in there, as they called those. They were Anabaptists. And these Baptists or Anabaptists were preaching from the Bible. Now, in the preface to all of the original King James Bible, it denounced the Romish people, that was the Catholics. And it denounced those people that hammered out their own doctrines on their own anvil and their own word, and that's the Baptist. The Church of England wanted their people to have in their hands the Bible. But King James says, translate that Bible in such a way that it does not go against the doctrines of the Church of England on pain of death. Now, the Church of England believed in baptismal regeneration, and they believed in pedobaptism. And they believed in a progressive sanctification and a progressive salvation. The Bible, the King James Bible, was written, it says in Acts 2:38, be baptized for the remission of sins, because the Catholic Church believed in that. You're baptized because of the remission of sins. The first work of obeying God is to be baptized by believers. The Catholic Church believed exactly the same thing about baptism that the Catholic Church did, in that it said that the original sin was washed away in baptism, in the rite of baptism. And the rite of baptism gave them membership in the church. All right, well, that's why the King James Version was written, so the Catholics wouldn't become, or so the Anglicans or the citizens of the British Empire would not become Catholics, or they would not become Baptists. That's why we have that translation. It worked to a certain extent. Now, let's see what was going on in the world. This is 1545, the Council of Trent is. It went on for several years. And it declared that the bulls of the Catholic Church were truth. And the anathema is, when you anathemize somebody, you damn them to eternal hellfire. Now, this is what the Catholic Church said of the whole Christian world. It pronounced 125 eternal damnations upon anyone believing what Christians believe and preach today. And I'm only going to read some of these anathemas, okay? The most important ones. We could go to 125 of them. Maybe I should go through all 125, I don't know, but I've picked out a certain anathemas that they did. Anathema means to place upon the wall and be unable to be redeemed. Calvin was a priest in Dominican Catholic churches. Luther was a ordained Catholic. Both of them fought hard to try to reform the Catholic Church. And this is the battleground that we're talking about today. Menno Simons came out of the Catholic Church and went into the Anabaptist movement, which his section of it became the Mennonites. The Amish are products of that also. One of the 125 anathema says, if anyone shall deny that the body and the blood together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore entire Christ, are truly, really, and substantially contained in the sacrament of the most holy Eucharist, in other words, that's his transubstantiation that's talking about, you must believe. When you go to confirmation in your catechism, you must believe that the wafer is really becoming the body of the mystical, real reality, transubstantiation, that it comes, Jesus is sacrificed one more time on the cross. And that is his real body, and the blood is his real blood. And she'll say that he is not only in it as a sign, or in a figure, or virtually, let him be accursed. Let him be eternally damned if you don't believe that. If you don't believe that, you cannot go through confirmation in the Catholic Church. Number two, if anyone shall say that the substance of the bread and wine remains in the sacrament of the most holy Eucharist together with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and shall deny that wonderful and singular conversion of the whole substance of the bread into the body, and of the whole substance of the wine into the blood, the outward forms of the bread and wine still remaining, which conversion the Catholic Church most aptly calls transubstantiation, let him be damned forever. Now we know that Luther was saying that he believed in consubstantiation, that the blood was with us and the body was with us, but not in reality. We know that Calvin, finally, in his last writings, believed that it was only a memorial memory and remind us of that, as we do in Baptist churches. The Catholic, the Eucharist is not a vehicle of grace at all. The Lord's Supper is not a vehicle of grace. We remember what Jesus did for us. We don't crucify him again as the Catholic Church did. If any man shall say that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is not to be adored in the Holy Sacrament, in other words, you adore the wafer. You're praying to the wafer. You're adoring, you're worshiping the wafer. Even with the open worship of latria, the laity, and therefore not to be venerated with any peculiar festival celebrity, or to be solemnly carried about in processions according to the praiseworthy and universal rites and customs of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, that he is not to be publicly set before the people to be adored, and that his adorers are idolaters. That's when you're worshiping the wafer. You become an idolater. That's what Luther and that's what Calvin, that's what Menno Simons were saying. That's what Zwingli, that's what John Knox, that's what all of these believers taught back then. Zwingli, Knox, Wycliffe, Huss, Savonarola. These all said that is Jesus wasn't in the wafer and wasn't in the wine. Let them be forever damned in hell. If anyone shall say that the ungodly man is justified by faith alone, so as to understand that nothing else is required that may cooperate to obtain the grace of justification, and that it is in no wise necessary for him to be prepared and disposed of by the motion of his own will, let him be accursed or damned forever. What this is saying, where the Bible says, for in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God, that when we believe that we are justified by God in his eyes, that when we confess with a mouth to God, through Jesus Christ, that we are forever saved, all of those that believe that are accursed forever. The ungodly man is justified by faith. For in grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Catholic dogma here, the anathema against those that believe in salvation by grace, is damning them forever. If anyone shall say that justifying by faith is nothing else than confidence in the divine mercy pardoning sins for Christ's sake, or that it is the confidence alone by which we are justified, let him be accursed. Romans, the 10th chapter. Let's read that for just a moment. Romans 10. I could go there and quote it, but let's read it. Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans is a book that Luther was reading when he got converted. He became a converted Catholic priest. Who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead? The Catholic Church does that. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Paul the Apostle preached this. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Or for the same Lord is Lord of all and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what I just read to you, is an absolute damnation of what Paul said. The Catholic Church says that the equal value of authority of tradition and Scripture. Tradition is actually held above Scripture. In the whole Reformation and among the Baptists always, it was sola scripta. The Scriptures only. The Bible is your only rule of faith and practice. The Catholic Church talked about the second seven sacraments, that you had to believe what they were and what they did, or you were anathemized. By the communion, that you must believe in the communion to be the transubstantiation. That you must believe in purgatory. That you must believe that the church has the power to forgive sins and indulgences. You must believe that the Mass is a propitiatory offering, a continual propitiatory offering. The Catholic Church still continued to exalt Mary in the Immaculate Conception in 1854. In 1870, the Catholic Church and Vatican Council, Vatican I, defined the infallibility of the Pope in matters of faith and morals. The Pope was infallible. It confirmed that there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. The assumption of the Virgin Mary and her bodily ascension to heaven shortly, actually before her death, was declared in 1950. In Vatican II in 1965, the Vatican made no new doctrines, nor did it change or repudiate any old ones of Trent or Vatican I. Vatican II verified and validated all the anathemas of the Council of Trent on all Christians. It reaffirmed such Roman heresies as papal supremacy, the Roman priesthood, the Mass as a unbloody sacrifice of Christ, a polluted sacramental gospel. Catholic tradition is equal and par with Scripture. Mary as the Queen of Heaven and co-redeemer with Christ, auricular confession, Mariolatry, pilgrimages to holy shrines, purgatory, prayers to and for the dead. Mary became proclaimed to be the mother of the Roman Catholic Church again. Again, in 1965, they reaffirmed the infallibility of the Pope, even when he does not speak ex cathedra or out of the throne chair. All Roman Catholics must give complete submission in mind and will and body to what the Pope says. There are many individual Roman Catholics today that are trying to split with the dogmas of the Catholic Church. But still, the dogmas and the infallibility of the Church exist. They again establish 20 complex rules of how and when and why indulgences may be obtained, and given, and that all of those who do not believe that the Catholic Church has the power to delegate indulgences will be forever damned. That's Catholicism. Now, maybe you have been raised from a very infant to believe in the Church, the Holy Roman Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church. But the Roman, the Holy Roman Catholic Church is not infallible, and it is not holy. Just read the history of her. Read the book of Revelation. Read the history of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ being persecuted by her and Istanbul. I beg you to leave the harlot, to come to Jesus Christ and Him alone. As Romans said, Paul writing to the church of Rome, that's still valid, people. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God sent His Son, Galatians the 4th chapter says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, not of a God, but of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law. The Catholic Church has many, many laws. The laws are not for you. God gives you one law, and that's His book. There's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. Never in the history of the world since Jesus Christ called out His little assembly has there ever failed to be a true church on this earth. And in 325 AD, that true church did not become Catholicism. Catholicism, when it began, was less toxic than it had become in the Dark Ages from 400 to 1500 or so AD. The Catholic Church brought on the Dark Ages. The Catholic Church didn't want people to read and write. They didn't want them to read and write the Bible. They did not want them to come to Jesus. They want them to come to Mary and to the priest. The Catholic Church controlled people's life from the very conception. Once a woman became pregnant, no more hanky-panky, you know. The man and woman's marriage was over. God gave marriage not as a sacrament, but to be enjoyed by two consenting people that love each other until they die. The Catholic Church controlled marriage. The Catholic Church controlled the conception of babies. The Catholic Church controlled a baby when it was born and had to be baptized. The Catholic Church confirmed them when they were 12 years old. They had to do this. The Catholic Church controlled the marriage. The Catholic Church controls the death and the burial. And then that hellish doctrine, purgatory. The Catholic Church wanted to say that they forgave sins, not Jesus. Pray to Mary and tell the priest your sins, and he will say you are forgiven. No. Only God can forgive sins. Don't be afraid of purgatory. Don't be afraid of the sword of the Catholic Church or Islam. Be afraid of the God who made you. And ask Him to save your soul. You can have eternal life with Him because He did it all. You don't have to follow the second sacrament. You don't have to follow all the rules of Islam. You come to God, confess who you are and what you are, and ask Him to save your soul, and you shall be saved. And saved is a completed tense. For in grace you are saved through faith, and you didn't get the faith. You didn't muster up the faith either. That's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto good works. We do good works after we're saved, not to get saved. We are baptized after we're saved. We believe in believers' baptism. The Bible teaches a believer's baptism. And the Bible teaches you that you're lost and you need to be saved. And you can be saved. and you follow God by His Word, not by tradition, not by religion, but by faith and belief in Him. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. I pray that you use this message to send it out all over. I pray that for every one of my students that hear it, that you give them a zeal to reach Catholics. Maybe reach their Catholic families. Father, I pray that there will be many Catholics saved because of this. I've seen nearly 1,000 in my ministry, or maybe even more, I don't know. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. Use your word. Let them see you and not me in it. Let them hear the truth, and that the truth will make them free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.